Welcome to the Bible Study. I am your host for today, Pastor Craig D'Onofrio. Good to be with you. I hope you're having a good day, a blessed Ascension Day at that. Today we're studying Psalm 29. So if you have your Bibles handy, go ahead and open it up to Psalm 29. And we're going to get into God's Word today. With us on the phone is Pastor Dan Wing from Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Sweet Springs, Missouri. A little bit of a tongue twister there, Pastor Wing. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it, Craig.
How's everything going in Sweet Springs?
Oh, it's beautiful. My office is on the second floor, and I can look out the window, and I just see blue sky and sun, and the birds are chirping. It's great.
Now, we have listeners around the world, and I've got to tell you, I've lived in Missouri. This is my third time now, but I don't know where Sweet Springs is. Where is Sweet Springs, Missouri?
We are we're mile marker 66 off of I-70, the main artery between St. Louis and Kansas City. And we're about an hour west of Columbia and an hour east of Kansas City.
Ah, so you're over on the western side of the state more.
Yep,
than
just
St.
about.
Louis.
Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, welcome. Good to have you. How's everything at Emmanuel?
It's going very well. We are in our summer haze. I'm getting ready to actually go on vacation for about 2 weeks. So.
Oh, nice.
Yes, exactly. So that's always kind of a scary time for a pastor. You got to make sure you got all your loose ends tied up and you're raring to go.
Yeah, it ministry doesn't stop just because you're gone. You know, someone's got to fill the pulpit and
that's right.
Be on call in case anything happens and all the rest. Well, good for you. I hope you have a great vacation.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Anything exciting going on with Ascension Day?
We are having a joint service. There's a congregation just about 4 or 5 minutes away from us in Emma, Missouri. And the pastor there and I are going to be having that's kind of a midweek service tonight between the two congregations, and we'll have it here at Emmanuel, and we're looking forward to getting to do some preaching, also looking at this very important time of Jesus leaving, but that only leaves us thirsty for him to come back. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Well, today we're getting into Psalm 29, and if you would start us out with a word of prayer, I think we'd all be blessed by that.
Be wonderful. Let's do that. We pray. Good and gracious Father in heaven, indeed, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light for our path. We thank and praise you for these words that we study today, that you would utilize them as an opportunity for us to fully understand and be able to express, see your expression of your love for us, that in these words we may gain clarity for our lives, that ultimately all glory, praise, and honor can be given to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's see here. Psalm 29, ascribe to the Lord the... I can't talk all of a sudden. Ascribe to the Lord glory, a Psalm of David. Do we know anything about the background of this?
I don't. You know, I was doing some looking yesterday, and there's just not a whole lot of understanding of context, time frame, that like. So we just assume that it is true that it is a Psalm of David.
The Psalms can be either illuminating historically or kind of veiled, and I guess, much like you, I didn't find anything else either.
Good.
I was hoping maybe you did. Well, let's go ahead and look at this Psalm. We'll just kind of take it chunk by chunk here.
Yeah.
So the first two verses, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. When we see this Lord all in capitals like this, it's Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And so we understand Yahweh as Jesus, because Yahweh is God who is revealed to us.
Correct.
So a lot of this seems to be kind of anti-pietism, let me say, where it's not, I'm going to do this, but rather let us praise the Lord.
Correct. This is the... credits at the end of the movie, if you will, and it may be insignificant to the audience, but very significant for which the audience had just seen. Give him credit, basically. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, heavenly beings, angels.
You consider Genesis 6 there, with kind of leading up to Noah and the flood, and we get these sons of God. And that's kind of what that's in reference to, those heavenly beings. I think we could say the saints, which you know, the angels and the saints. So all believers, I think, really are encompassed in those that term. They're heavenly beings. Just my thought.
So we have this. I'm looking at a different translation now, and I've got my Hebrew out, but I'm pretty rusty on this one.
Don't do that to me.
Ascribe to the Lord, you sons of the mighty, is another translation here.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I guess sons of God, and that would kind of go along with what you were just saying, that you know, this could be those great men of old or any such thing like that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So, definitely, yeah. Basically, you know, calling forth the witness of those who have come before, I think, including the angels, which certainly do point to the Lord.
So, ascribe to the Lord, you sons of the mighty, ascribe to Yahweh, or the Lord, glory and strength. That strength is an interesting word there. God is already strong. But is this just a recognition that he's almighty that way?
I think so. You know, especially when, not to, you know, jump the gun, but if you were to run all the way to verse 10 of 29, he sits enthroned over the flood, speaking of the fact that he is greater than even the worst cataclysmic event that has happened to this earth. He is greater than those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By the way, I didn't throw this out earlier. I should have thrown it out. If you'd like to join in on our conversation today as we talk about Psalm 29, you can call in the St. Louis area, area code 314-821-0850. That's 314-821-0850, or nationwide at 800-730-2727. And we always enjoy having your calls. And as usual, I encourage you to call earlier rather than later, because, as I always tell you, it makes me sad when we end the program and I have people on hold. So go ahead and call on in. Verse 2, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. The name of God is Yahweh here. Is there anything that we should make about the name? Anytime that I see name in Scripture, my ears kind of perk up. There's something important there.
Yeah, I mean, God dictates that in the second commandment, doesn't he? You know, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Significance, I think it's much like, as we get into this with the voice, where God's name is, there he is also located. You know, granting him glory, you know, we think of our baptisms where God has marked us with his name and how significant that is. So yeah, you're right to have your ears perk up at that. That is significant.
And then the rest of this verse, too, here, I think the name goes with the rest. Also, worship the Lord, worship the Yahweh, and the splendor of holiness. And so, Pastor, is it fair to say here that the name goes with worship, and so we are to use the Lord's name in worship?
Sure. We think of how we begin many of our services in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, tying us back to baptism, where we first were marked with his name. This idea of splendor of holiness, you know, when I think of something that is holy, I certainly don't think of myself, and it's hard for us as sinners to think of ourselves as being holy. When I get a Bible study to finally figure out what, you know, a good definition for the word holy is, oftentimes the word is perfect. And when we try to point to the fact that God has made us perfect, we look at ourselves and we say, hey, wait a second, no, he didn't. The reality is that we cannot worship the Lord as unholy things until he has made us holy first. And so it's always an up-down relationship, a vertical relationship of him coming to us in holiness.
I think also going back to the name there, that only when we are in his name can we be holy.
Mm-hmm.
And so our worship is only good and right if we are gathering in the name. And I don't, you know, we say that with an invocation, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we gather in the name that way also. But as baptized Christians, we have that name put on us, as you were pointing out.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we gather in the name, we are those who are named with Christ. And so there is our holiness.
Correct. Yeah, we're part of the family. When you wear the family name, if you will, nobody wants to be the embarrassment of the family. And so when we consider the fact that God has welcomed us into his family with that name, we then in turn live in a way that is bringing glory to him because of what he has done for us and continues to do for us.
Very good. Let's move on to verse 3 and 4 here.
Okay.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Boy, once again, when I see waters, that's another word that really perks me up as a Lutheran.
Oh, you don't have to be a Lutheran for it to perk you. But yes, definitely. Yeah.
What else do we make of this?
Oh, yeah, beautiful things, very beautiful things. One of the struggles I've seen, I guess, as a pastor that is going on in our world today, particularly in the church, is a foregoing, if you will, of Genesis, particularly Genesis 1, 2, 6, 7, 8, you know, the Noah's flood, even the Tower of Babel. Many Christians who claim to be Christians declare that Genesis 1 and 2 cannot be true, that science has dictated otherwise, and as a result, I don't have to believe that to be saved, right? I just have to believe in Jesus. My concern with this, and I think several others, Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis has a struggle with this. Brian Young, who's also a speaker in regards to creation and the like. One of the significant arguments against that, against eliminating Genesis 1 and 2, and there's a variety of arguments, but one of them that's significant to me is if you eliminate those, then you need to take Thomas Jefferson's knife and cut out verses, 3 and 4, several of the verses here, verse 10 of Psalm 29. You're going to have to do that for the whole Bible, because I cannot help but see this as the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, and then he spoke with his voice, "Let there be light," and there was light. And so this pulls me into Genesis, the creation. It pulls me into certainly the flood the flood itself with Noah and the ark, which again points us back to baptism. And so to me, this is so significant that it points back to Genesis 1 and where we get our beginning, where we get our start as God's creation, as God's people, and how much he does love us indeed. Sorry, that was a lot.
No, not at all. That's why you're here.
Oh, that's good. No. How about you?
I'm looking at this. The voice of the Lord is over the waters, and immediately, like you, I go shooting back to the Spirit hovering over the waters of creation. I think that's kind of where this takes us. The Hebrew also offers "on the waters" as a another translation that we could look at here.
Sure.
But nonetheless, we have God and water, and there with the water we have the waters of creation, and there with Christ we have the waters of recreation and baptism.
Amen.
God making new.
Yep.
And that eighth day of creation that we talk about,
mm-hmm.
That restorative, redemptive water.
Mm-hmm.
And with both, we have the Holy Spirit. And
right.
You know, coming from a non-Lutheran background,
mm-hmm.
I always find it interesting that many Christians will say, "Well, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit?"
Yeah.
And of course I have. I've been baptized.
That's right.
And so they're looking for a second filling, a second blessing, a theology of glory, kind of empowerment kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, we understand that the scriptures tell us that when we are baptized, when the water and the name is put on us, there we receive the wholeness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit upon us. And there we have the blessings of God, that adoption into sonhood and the filling of the Holy Spirit that we might believe the truth of the gospel and so many other blessings.
There you go. God is spirit, if you will, invisible to our eyes, yet he is so entwined with the physical realm, the fact that he created it and made it, made us to be both spiritual and very physical beings at the same time. you know, and all the more, you know, to your point about being baptized with the Holy Spirit, you're right, it does come, but how does it come? It comes through plain, simple means, as Luther would say, through, you know, good old water. Here in Sweet Springs, it's just Sweet Springs water from the tap that's in the sacristy. and that's the way God comes to us, is in means or ways that we can understand it, not only spiritually, but physically as well. So amen to what you said, that is for sure.
I also, as a pastor, find this very comforting, what you just said, because that simple tap water, ordinary simple thing that we all take for granted, doesn't even taste that great most of the time because it's been chemically treated and everything. But God uses such simple, basic things so that none of our senses would be untouched in salvation. He knows that He made us both body and soul. And so it's not just a spiritual hovering kind of thing. Oh, do you feel the liver shiver? Do you feel the chill down your spine? No. instead, He comes to us in such tangible means because we are physical creatures. Yep. And in the coldness of some tap water, in what I always like to say, some bread that takes more faith to believe that it's bread than the body of Christ.
That is so true.
And usually some really cheap wine.
Yeah. And, you know, smoking David's usually pretty good.
But, you know, shouldn't we roll out the $300 bottle of wine if it's going to be with Christ?
I always find that funny. The chalice that I use is so ornate. It's like we're trying to make it seem like it's more special than the offering that's being given by our Lord. But that's okay. It's proper. It's in a good vessel points to the sincerity of what we're doing. So, yeah. Got to watch what I say there.
But what a blessing it is that our Lord comes to us in such simple ways and even through the mouths of simpletons like pastors.
Oh, if they only knew, right? Yes. No,
the clergy of the church are proof that God has a great sense of humor.
Yes, and a lot of grace.
And a lot of grace. Yes.
A lot of grace. Yeah.
So here we have in verse 3, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders.
Ooh.
What's that all about?
That is ushering my little brain, and the simpleton was the correct word that you used there, in John, where Jesus is getting, dare I say, trepidatious or kind of anxious for what is about to happen. And he prays, and God answers back. It's in John chapter 12, and God answers back, and the crowds hear it, but they don't hear what he said, and they proclaim it to either be an angel that just talked to Jesus or thunder, and it is the voice of God. And so, you know, to me, that's a huge tie-in. I mean, we could go to Mount Sinai, too, you know, where we get the thunder and the smoke and the ferociousness of our God. That He is indeed. When you hear that thunder roll, I've lived in a couple different parts of the world, and it rolls differently, and you know, depending upon the geography and the lay of the land. But it is always a powerful thing. And I tell you, we get some claps of thunder here in mid Missouri that are just mind-numbingly loud. And to think that God's voice is as thunder that calls me to attention. How significant that is. We do not serve a God that is a weakling. And I think that's, unfortunately, what the world thinks a lot of times. But he is not by any means small or insignificant. This word thunders is very significant.
Once again, we're talking with Pastor Dan Wing from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. If you'd like to join in on our conversation, you can certainly do so in the St. Louis area. Area code 314-821-0850 or nationwide 800-730-2727. And we always appreciate your calls and comments. Pastor Wing, I'm looking at this also, and I'm drawn to where you are with that. But also, I'm thinking, since we've been talking about water and everything, mm-hmm. also, as Jesus comes up out of the baptismal waters, there we have the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, and in Him I am well pleased," and listen to Him. And so, you know, once again, we have this. David, all of these years before Jesus even instituted baptism, you know, it's wonderful how the Scripture works out that The Old Testament testifies to the New in ways that the authors of the Old Testament had no idea. And yet the Lord works things like this, where we see all of these pictures in the Old Testament, the way that people spoke and the things that happened that testify to the New. And what a neat thing that is.
It is. We live in a truly blessed time. I think a lot of people, I know as a kid, I always wished that I could hop into a time machine and show up where Jesus was and listen to him preach or teach or do a miracle. But the reality is, we live in the time that we do now, but it is a blessed time because we live after all of the events. We get to sit back and look at the whole witness of Scripture, as you said, you know, the old testifying to the new, and how significant and wonderful that is. I always encourage people here at church and the places that I've served to, as you read the Psalms, certainly read it in the context that it is, but then also put on your Jesus glasses and see where Christ is in the text.
Mm-hmm.
And he's everywhere. It is, like you said, so many years before he would even walk this earth for it to be all of these little clues that just keep popping up over and over again is truly amazing. I don't get how people can overlook that fact of Scripture. They get so caught up on silly arguments here and there as to what's real and what's not real. We know it's all real because it is from the voice of the Lord.
I was, you had me at time machine.
Back to the future.
I've always thought, you know, I'd like to go back to the times of Jesus, but I'd like to stop a couple of times before that and slap myself and just say no.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
I always pictured Jesus looking at me and saying, "What are you doing here?" Oops. No.
Oh, okay.
Little sci-fi humor.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. Once again, we have this waters and the Lord over the many waters. And I think for you and I both, this brings us back to the creation, God hovering over the waters. Is this the psalmist's way of saying that the Lord over many waters is the Almighty God who is over all things?
Yeah, you think about it. Without water, there is not life, period. I mean, look at what our folks at NASA and scientists have been longing to find. Our planets or heavenly bodies that have water on them. We're working so hard to find water on Mars because we feel like if we can find water, then we can find life. You know, how significant that is in relation to creation and certainly to, as you said earlier, our new life in the Lord through the waters of baptism.
I'd like to read real quick. I just stumbled across this in the Lutheran Study Bible. Luther on this section of the text, verses 3 through 9, he says, "People think if I could hear God speaking in his own person, I would run so fast to hear him that my feet would bleed." Or in our case, we'd want a time machine so we could go see him. If in former times someone had said, "I know of a place in the world where God speaks, and when you arrive there, you hear God himself talking, and if I had come there, had seen the poor preacher baptize, or seen a poor preacher baptize and preach, and people had said, 'This is the place, there God is speaking through the preacher, he is teaching God's word,' then I no doubt would have said, 'Ha, I have taken pains to come here, and I see only a minister. We should like to have God speak with us in his majesty, but I advise you, do not go there.' So experience certainly teaches, if he were to speak in his majesty, you would see what a running would begin. As there at Mount Sinai, where after all only the angels spoke, yet the mountain smoked and trembled, but now you have the word of God in church, in books, in your home, and this is a certainty, and this as certainly as God's word, as if God himself were speaking." This goes back to what we were talking about, all the simple means that God comes to us through, and even the simple means of a pastor. Unfortunately, we're a little over time on this segment. We need to take a break, but when we come back, we'll continue with Pastor Wing as we talk about Psalm 29.
How do marriage and family affect society as a whole? Hi, I'm Andy Bates, host of Faith and Family. Join me for a week of conversations on marriage and family as we talk with experts and everyday people. Listen live weekdays at 11 a.m. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news, underwritten by Concordia University, Wisconsin. Let Worldwide KFUO help you get the word out about your next church, school, or organization event. By including your event in the KFUO datebook, it will be announced on the air throughout the day. Send your event information via email to jennyw@kfuo.org. That's jennyw@kfuo.org. Or call 314-996-1515. Be sure to include date, time, location, and contact information. The KFUO datebook is a public service of listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Jesus once said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson. When the peace of Jesus is in, fear is out. So I invite you to join me for Jubilation this Sunday when I'll mix Christ-centered music and fear-dispelling talk together just for you. That's Jubilation Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to the Bible Study. I'm Pastor Craig D'Onofrio. With us online is Pastor Dan Wing from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. If you would like to join in on the conversation today, you can certainly do so in the St. Louis area. Call 314-821-0850 or nationwide 800-730-2727. And we always enjoy having your calls. Pastor Wing, we left off in this verse 4 area here. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Anything else on that passage that you'd like to bring out?
You know, you ended before the break with that beautiful quote from Luther, and I think it was just hilarious. Would encourage God's people, especially Lutherans, but also non-Lutherans as well, to read some Luther. He's got some quite hilarious things to write and to say. But how true, you know, in relation to that third commandment, you know, that we would not, the what does this mean portion, you know, that we would not despise preaching and his word. You know, I wonder sometimes if us as pastors don't give our people, unfortunately, a good reason to despise preaching and God's word in how we present it and how we go about doing it. I'm not here to lecture or say who does what right and who doesn't do what right. I think it just is a reminder to us as men who wear black shirts, reminding us that we are sinners and others that we are sinners. But then we wear that little white tab or the full collar, whatever the case may be, that is white for a purpose, for a reason, that we are simply under shepherds who are speaking with the voice of God. And when we declare the forgiveness of sins in a service with the absolution, that it is not our words, but God's words, and it is his voice that is filled with power and majesty, not our voices. And we recognize ultimately that our voices do come from God as well, and so that we utilize them to his glory and for the benefit of his people. So when I start to see heads nod and the like in my sanctuary, I realize and recognize that I'm probably doing a disservice, and I need to figure out, doing a little bit better.
I think this is a whole other program that we could do here. But
I'm sorry.
I appreciate what you're saying. I was saying I think that this could be a whole other program because I've gone to so many churches where I hear the pastor preach and I can't help but to think, do you really believe this? Because you don't seem to have any conviction over this whole thing in your preaching, you know?
Correct.
Is this truly astonishing good news or is it not?
Yeah.
And I love the Luther quote. I hadn't read that one before, as you could tell as I stumbled through it.
No, you're fine.
You know, I've often said if the president of the United States was to be at our church this Sunday, how many people would come? Thousands of people would pile into the place, either to yell at him or applaud him, one or the other. But but still, you know, they would be there. And yet Jesus, the God of all of creation, is there every Sunday, and how few people actually come for that.
Yeah.
And what a sadness that is. And when the pastor speaks those words of absolution, It is as certain as if God himself is speaking to you. When the pastor reads those words of institution and proclaims, this is the body, this is the blood of the Lord, it is as certain as if Jesus himself is standing there saying, take, eat, drink, this is my body.
Yeah.
And what a blessing that is. Let's talk to Cheryl in Indianapolis. Welcome to the Bible study, Cheryl.
Thank you. When I was reading this psalm yesterday, I was thinking, boy, this sure sounds like a good psalm for the ascension. And verse 4, where it says, the voice of the Lord is powerful, the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And I was looking at Acts 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Because of Jesus' ascension, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit, to be his voice, and the gospel message gets spread throughout the whole world, and Hebrews 1, I was looking at a lot of verses because of this psalm, Hebrews 1, long ago, at many times and many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Wow.
And then the voice, the power of his voice, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. And the voice of the Lord is powerful and goes out through all the world, and the thanks be to God for the ascension, and the Holy Spirit being come upon us. So we can be witnesses of all this.
Indeed.
Not only in voice, but in deed as well. As what we do speaks as well. I think it works. God works through means. Very good, Cheryl. The beautiful words.
Our listeners are truly amazing to this with this program, and Cheryl is certainly a student of the scriptures and a blessing to us.
Yeah.
She always has such wonderful insights and brings in passages that I hadn't even thought of. So thank you so much, Cheryl. Let's move on to verse 5 and following here. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and siren like a young wild ox. I thought it said sirloin at first there.
Too funny. Okay.
A little ox sirloin for you today. Yeah. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The cedars of Lebanon. What do we know about those?
Used in the building of the temple. In fact, I want to say that they pretty well exhausted all of the wood in Lebanon, if I remember correctly, historically speaking, that they exhausted all the cedar trees in Lebanon virtually to build not only the temple, but you know, Jerusalem and the like. But those are that pops up regularly throughout Scripture, and I'm not 100% sure on all the details of it, but that is significant. My in-laws have a farm here just outside of Sweet Springs called Cedar Lanes, and I can remember a couple of years ago, they've got a row of cedars on their property along a driveway. And a couple of years ago, a great wind came through and busted up two or three of those cedars. And what mangled mess that was. But then I you know, think of that in relation to God's word, God's voice, you know, as it points into this text, how mighty those cedars are, yet by his voice they are like toothpicks.
And then this Syrian, I can't ever say it. I know it's a mountain in the area there that
I ran across Mount Hermon as a possibility. Is that where you were at too? Maybe on that.
No, but it's an interesting thought.
I'm sorry, that was in the Lutheran Study Bible.
Ah.
29 verse 6, Syrian Hermon, the tallest mountain in Syria.
Ah.
I'm cheating.
Okay. I've got to confess, Pastor, that one of the weakest suits that I had in seminary was geography.
Well, at least you know, that, if that was only your weakest, see, I was just kind of mid to below average on everything. So you're doing really well then, if that's all that you struggled with.
I remember they gave us these maps of Old Testament times and stuff like that, and they said, well, you know, fill in this, fill in that, fill it, and you know, so you had to go and find all these places. I think I got about a 30% on that test. It was awful. It was terrible.
That's all right. But you're still a pastor, right?
For this week.
You just
We'll see about next week.
There you go.
He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. I don't know. I've never spent much time on a farm, so I don't know if calves really skip or
they
or,
do. Yes,
yeah.
We got them all over. We're rural America here in middle Missouri, and it's pretty funny to watch, actually. Once in a while, I go for runs around town here, and I go through on a dirt road, and there's a bunch of cows there, but then there's calves, and they look like they're having fun. The cows just look like they're down to business eating, but the young ones are they're pretty they do skip, put it that way.
So in 5 and 6 here, what I'm seeing is the mighty voice of God that breaks these mighty trees, these cedars that I assume are pretty tough trees if that's what they decided to build the temple out of. And so the cedars, the voice of the Lord is powerful enough to mow them down, and yet it brings joy. And so enough joy in the voice of God to make even the animals rejoice. Is that a good way of looking at this?
I think so. You know, it kind of harkens back to the image we get of eternal life and how things are going to be different. You know, that the lion and the lamb, but that's not, the lion and the cow will lay together, you know, a young child will put his hand in the adder's den and not receive a poisonous bite. Things will be different. Things will be changed, without a doubt. Yeah. You know, I can't help but recall Psalm 51, too, where David writes, "Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice," as he writes in lament of what he had done with Bathsheba and the murdering of Uriah and the loss of his child, that even in the midst of suffering, pain, and anguish, even perhaps at the hand of God, that we can rejoice. For he indeed is still God of the universe and calls us his own.
Mm-hmm. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. I can't help but to think that Jesus, as he was taken captive on the night that he was betrayed, when he utters that I am and everyone falls down at the name of Yahweh there, and just the power in the name that as Jesus speaks the name, God himself speaks his name, people are just mowed down. And what a mighty, mighty thing it is.
Yeah. In college, I went to Concordia University in Seward, Nebraska. And the chaplain at the time was Chaplain Greg Meck. And he's pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran in Joplin, Missouri now. But he, when he did chapel, he was just so loud. I mean, his voice just boomed. It literally thundered, as we kind of see in this text.
Hmm.
But then I hear the words, Job 40, verse 9, "Have you an arm like God, and can you thunder with a voice like his?" The truth is, and I think, I don't want to put words into his mouth, but I think Pastor Meck would agree that it is not only his voice, but it's the voice of the Lord that is speaking forth. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that text when all the soldiers fall down and at Jesus' words. Yeah.
Very good. Let's throw the number out there one more time. 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area. Nationwide, 800-730-2727. And once again, get in line now. Let's see here. Verse 6 and or 5 and 6. Anything else on those two verses before we move on?
I don't think so, other than we need to work on geography.
Yeah, don't remind me. Verses 7 and 8. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. Pastor, anything there that jumps out at you?
I think I'm trying to think of the text where it speaks of God going forth in flames, destroying, bringing destruction to the earth. We know and understand from Scripture, too, that He will, on that final day, once all have been judged, He will destroy both the heavens and the earth. All of physical creation will be destroyed by fire. So I guess this kind of calls forth the judgment as well. And then we're back to our problem of geography with the wilderness of Kadesh. I apologize. I don't know what that is either. So
That's in the region of Sinai, I believe, that
is okay.
It's the desert out there. And I think...
You know your geography.
Well, I have a Lutheran study Bible.
Good, you were looking at that while I was talking, right?
you know what I get from this is that the Lord's voice flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. I'm kind of looking at this like the word of God is to reach all nations and is powerful enough to reach around the world. And so when God speaks, it's an earth-changing event.
Mm-hmm.
As He spoke creation into being, so also when He speaks through the waters of baptism and so many other times as Jesus speaks to us and gives us that great commission, it's a voice that is a world-changing voice.
Definitely. I think that's the thing. We see God in a variety of ways throughout Scripture and even within this psalm. By the end, and I hate to go to the end, but He speaks peace, and that's a good thing. But we get His creating word, His recreating word, but also a word of law. And I can't help but think that's what the flames of fire kind of speaks to, the shaking, the rattling. As you said, you know, Kadesh in the plain of Sinai, where the law is given. I know when my mother would yell rather loudly, "Daniel Stephen Wing," I knew I was in trouble, that judgment time had come. And the voice of a mom or the voice of the Lord can speak judgment as well. She spoke very lovingly to me throughout my childhood too, just so you know there's no struggles that way. But I knew when I was being called to the carpet for something I had done or not done, that there was trouble to be had, put it that way.
Well, what is the universal rule with mothers that when you're in trouble, they use your middle name?
You know, I think it's just because of their desire to not use other words that are inappropriate, so they just pull on that one. I'll have to ask her.
Same idea with my mom. Whenever it was the middle name, you're, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. I did something mm-hmm. bad, you know, mm-hmm. or I didn't do something that I was supposed to,
yeah.
one or the other.
The law speaketh.
Yeah, if only God would do that with us and call us by our full name, then we'd know, oh, I guess I better repent of something.
I think He does when we hear the word sinner.
That's pretty much it.
But no, yeah.
So let's see here. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. I think we've exhausted those two passages pretty well. Anything else on those two before we move on?
No, let's move on.
Okay. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and in His temple all cry glory. What jumps out at you in that section?
Probably, I think when we hear the term or the phrase there, strips the forest bare, I can recall, I think it was around 1989 or so, my family, my parents, brother, and I drove out from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, out west, and we went through Yellowstone, and that was about the time they had all their fires. Really just stripped, you know, literally as it says here, the forest bare. You could see through very clearly, and it was easier to see animals actually as a result. And then we went on up to Washington State and saw where Mount St. Helens had blown and just laid waste that whole area. And I can't help but get those images in my mind when it comes to, again, this voice of the Lord. Again, destructive in a sense, but with destruction comes new life, as one can see at Mount St. Helens, as new life is coming forth that scientists just thought could not happen, is happening at this very hour, and the same thing for Yellowstone, too. And so with judgment, with the law, the destructive nature of God's voice comes also renewal. And then I think that's, you know, again, in relation to Psalm 51, let the bones you have crushed rejoice. We get at the end of this verse 9, and in his temple all cry glory. Because what are we left with when we are stripped bare completely like that forest, except for to speak glory to God? Reminds me of the Gloria in Excelsis that we sing in church.
Mm. I look at this, and I can't help but to think of a little law and gospel in this, that the Lord's voice is so powerful that it would write down scared deer into premature labor, you know? I mean, it's that powerful that the trees are mowed down and all of creation is shocked because we're fallen in terror. And so, you know, so powerful that the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. It causes them to go into this premature labor. It strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all cry glory. And that voice that spoke all of creation into being, that voice that would terrify all of creation like this, also bespeaks us righteous and bespeaks us to be his friends and his children. And so the voice of power that could destroy is also that voice of creation and that voice of recreation that made us in the first place and remakes us through the gift of the Holy Spirit, through the waters of baptism, through the Word, through the Lord's Supper, and all of his gifts.
Amen.
So just a wonderful, wonderful thing there. We've got about 5 minutes left here to finish this out, so we've got a little bit of time to deal with these last two passages. Anything else on 9 before we move on to 10 and 11?
And, you know, I think another, along with what you were saying, Elijah in the cave, and God calls him out, and you know, we've got the rush of fire and the tornado, essentially, that comes by, the earthquake, and God is in none of them, and all of a sudden, he's in the small, simple, quiet whisper, our God is a God of variety. He's a God of coming to us in a variety of ways, and we dare not overlook those.
I think with that also, he likes to keep us on our toes.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, but I think it also betrays. I'm always looking for the sense of humor of God that, you know, he doesn't come to us in the ways that we would expect him to come. But he comes to us in ways that we would never expect. You know, those bracelets and rings and everything that were so popular some years back, that what would Jesus do? And I always said, well, he'd always do something that we never expected him to do. He'd make 180 gallons of wine for a party that's already lit. He does the most unexpected and wild things. He hangs out with thieves and prostitutes, not with the holy people, not with the self-righteous types, not with those who are outwardly holy. And yet he calls these people friend, and he calls them to himself. So, you know, what would Jesus do? Always the things that we never really expect him to do, because he doesn't play God on our terms. He plays God on his terms because he is God.
Right.
And so,
yeah, I definitely look at it in relation to WHJD. What has Jesus done as a sinner?
Right.
What has he done?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the only way to know anything there is well, what would Jesus do? I'll tell you after he did it.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Verses 9, 10 and 11 here. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Pastor, we've got about 3.5 minutes left. Why don't you just feel free?
Yeah, thank you. Certainly appreciate the time, Craig, as well, for you to offer this as opportunity to speak about this very important psalm. I want to speak to the folks listening out there who maybe don't belong to a church, maybe were burned by the church, folks who are struggling with members of the church or with a pastor. I want you to know that the church is not about the pastor. It's not about the people. It's about who is the Lord, who is the King forever, as verse 10 says. We as sinners lead churches as pastors. We as sinners lead churches who are the presidents of congregations or the elders. We are sinners, and we come before the Lord as simple beggars. We are like blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, if you recall him from Mark chapter 10 or 9 or 10. We come to him seeking that which only he can give. And it's not great wealth. It's not strength. It's not reign or rule. Those things belong to him. The simple thing that we seek, that God ultimately gives to us, is his peace. I love how this psalm ends. May the Lord bless his people with peace. The whole psalm up to this point has really been about thunder and a certain amount of destruction and power and majesty. But then it ends with peace. And that's what it is indeed about, that God has made peace with his people, that he has taken us who were enemies towards him and restored us to himself in peace. I can't help but hear the words of Jesus speaking very loud and clear here in verse 11 as he comes to his disciples after he has undergone the torment of the cross, the crown of thorns, the nails through his flesh, the spear through his side, being in the tomb for 3 days, and then he comes to his disciples who are filled with fear and anxiety, and he says, "Peace be with you." And so also then, we as God's people, having received that peace from him, need to be sharing that peace with one another. And we spend so much time arguing about things that really don't matter, but instead we ought to rejoice in the peace that God has brought to us that we can have with one another as well. And so we focus on these words then of our Lord as we hear his voice, and then we in turn respond to that voice as we live as his people in the grace of Christ Jesus our Lord.
Mm. You brought up the Lord appearing to his disciples and saying, "Peace be with you." And those words, you know, they all ran away. They all forsook him one way or another. They, even Peter, who kind of tracked along with him and kind of, you know, skulked off at a distance and you know, was trying to be faithful. And, you know, he ended up denying Jesus 3 times. And Jesus shows up, and 3 times he says, "Peace be with you." God's grace certainly meets all of our sin in all of its depth, with all of his grace and all of his forgiveness and his mercy. Pastor Dan Wing, thanks so much for being with us today and sharing in God's word.
God's peace and blessing. Thank you.
God bless. Stay tuned for more radio goodness on Worldwide KFUO with Andy Bates on Faith and Family. I'll be back with the God Whispers at 2 and then Reformation Rush Hour at 5. So join me for those programs too. And keep KFUO on all day long. God bless.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study programs at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.